Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar at the Ryman, legendary Ryman. I'm here with Ricky from the Wild Feathers, also Nashville, not native, but lives in Nashville.
Right.
Ricky, thank you very much for taking the time before the show to talk to
thank
us about
you.
your guitars and stuff.
Thank
and,
you.
What's this one in your hand right now?
This is kind of, I call it my A-team, I guess. It's my number one. And it's like a custom shop Southern Jumbo.
All right.
But there's nothing really inside or anything. You know what I mean? I really like the inlays and all that stuff. So like, it's just kind of one of those bangers that can take a beating, and it does. I mean, this had 150 shows on it last year.
How long have you had this?
Maybe 2 years. But the very first night I got it, I dropped it. Oof. Right there. But that was the only thing that
it's
happened.
It's like so. When you get like a car and you ding it the first time, you're like, well, you stop babying it.
Right,
you don't worry
right,
about
right.
it.
This poor thing has seen, it's been to hell and back, but I love it. It sounds incredible, so.
Hearing-wise, what do you hear that you gravitate toward or use it so much?
I think it's just like, being a Southern Jumbo, it has that kind of real full-bodied acoustic thing that really projects that
yeah.
I'm a big fan of. Like, because when I'm not on the road, this is kind of the one I keep around the house, too. I ride a lot on it, so it's just kind of my favorite. Like I said, and it takes a licking every single night. And every time I come back from the tour or on the road, it's like there's a whole nother gash or, you know, but it's what it is. So.
And will you record with this one too?
I've made a lot of recordings with this, yeah, the past couple years. So, but this is my favorite live guitar for sure.
Cool, what else we got here?
This is like a really cool J45. It's like the 1960s like reissue J45. And honestly, it sounds incredible, obviously, but it looks killer.
Yeah, it's classy.
So I really
man.
Wanted it, and I've been playing it a lot, and it plays great. I mean, these things just don't, like I said, it was so spotless and brand new, and then of course,
did you ding it too?
The road, yeah. I'm not very careful with them, but maybe it's my tech's fault, I don't know. Johnny Baby could be breaking these things out, I don't know. But yeah, it's got a couple cracks, you know, but that's just from
wear and tear.
Wear and tear, yeah.
And string-wise, what are you going with?
I play the D'Addario mediums.
All right.
Little tough, but like, I think they sound better, you know, and that's kind of what it's about. Like, a lot of people play like light strings and all you hear is pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the string, I like it when it sounds good. You actually hear the chords and whatnot.
And when it comes to either shows or recording, how do you typically change your strings in terms of, do you leave them on there, let them kind of get dead, or do you go every night?
Yeah, I hate them when they're brand spanking new, but I do like fresh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I let them go, on the road, I let them go, you know, 3 to 5 shows.
Okay.
If I don't break any.
Yeah.
I usually break a lot of strings, so it just all depends. But yeah, I like them new, but not, you know, like I said, brand spanking.
Gotcha.
Just a little too bright.
And the last one here you got is
this is a special one. Yeah, this is my favorite. I bought this in Eugene, Oregon. It's like a early to mid 90s Martin D28 12 string that I found in a guitar store in Eugene, Oregon. We were on tour with Ryan Bingham, and they were all telling us about this guitar shop, so we headed down there, and I picked this up, and I was like, God dang it. I just knew I had to buy it, you know, so, and I did.
Do you remember what shop it was?
Hey, Taylor, what shop did we get this at in Eugene that you bought that Princeton?
I think it's, McKinsey River Music in Eugene, Oregon.
Shout out to McKinsey River.
Yeah, but, I bought it. I actually had the cash on me somehow, so I
burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah, I was like, well, I better buy this now before I buy something else stupid, you know.
It's a good investment.
Yeah, I love it.
And what songs are you playing the 12 on?
I'm just gonna play one song on this tonight, and it's called "Goodbye Song" off the new record.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what are you playing through your amp? I know that you don't have many effects or anything, but
no,
I
got
amplifying these guys.
I am. This is actually Taylor's. It's like a little Fishman acoustic, like loud box or whatever. And I don't really use it for anything except for on bigger stages. I like to kind of, when I come back, if I don't have monitors back here, I like to have it, or I can hear it back here
gotcha.
Too. And like I use like a Holy Grail, you know, reverb, and some kind of fancy compression pedal that Brett put on my board. So it sounds good. I don't really, I'm not the smartest when it comes to all that gear stuff, but.
Got like Gibson and Martin, though. That's
yeah,
pretty.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all you need, man.
Not bad.
Well, appreciate the time,
thanks,
Ricky.
Brother. Appreciate
congratulations
it,
on the show here.
Thank
I saw you.
You
guys at Basement East a couple months
oh,
ago,
awesome.
So it's, I know that it's special for you guys to play the
oh,
Ryman.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So we'll talk to Taylor
all
now.
All right, man. Thank
all right,
you.
Thank you. All right, we're here with Taylor, who's the bona fide gearhead of the group, at least according to Ricky. Yeah. So you got to live up to it, Taylor. Talk to us about this guy right here.
Yeah, this is my main guitar, man. It's this is like when I go into battle, if like we're fly dates or anything, like this is, if I only have to take one, I take this guy. It's a 2007 60s reissue. It's got the block inlay, the Burst Bucker Pro pickups. I have a vintage one too, and I'm like, I'm a little scared to take it out of a 67,
don't blame you.
But like this one, I feel like just plays better too, man. It's a great guitar.
Totally. What do you dig about it? What speaks to you?
I don't know. It's just, it has that cut without being too shrill and bright. Okay. And I grew up playing Strats, and then I switched to this like probably, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've never looked back since. Like I'm in love with it. Like it's weird playing another guitar now. It doesn't quite sound the same.
It's almost like you're cheating.
I know, totally. Yeah.
And have you done anything to the guitar since
you bought it? No, man. I haven't done anything. You know, just had a couple. I refretted it once because they got worn out, but that's about it.
But you did do something to the back.
Oh, I've done something to the back, just for all you Trump fans out there.
It's kind of like Ernest Tubb style, I guess.
Yeah, totally.
Perfect
yeah.
for Nashville.
Yeah, I had to make a statement.
Let's talk about some more guitars.
Cool, yeah, for sure. This one right here is another one of my favorites. It's a 65 Epiphone Ooh. Riviera. And what's cool about this guitar, you can kind of see it on the back. It used to be the sparkling burgundy, like see it on the the edges. And like over time it fades to this gold. They never made this color. Like it just fades from like
UV. Yeah, you can see it in
UV.
The edge up here.
Yeah, it's really cool. Someone told me that. I didn't realize that. I thought it maybe got painted over and like they did a shitty job, but it actually fades to this. We were working with Rob Schnopf out in LA and he had one and I fell in love with it. And I was like, if you ever come across one of these, let me know, because I'll get one. And literally like 5 days later, he's like, my producer buddy in DC has one. Do you want it? I was like, fuck yes.
Yes.
so he sent it to me. Like, I didn't even get to play it. I was like, just, I'll take it. Mailed it to me and it showed up and it's been great ever since.
Are you playing this on the same song that Ricky's playing the 12 string?
No, I play it on like Left My Woman, Hard Times, probably like 5 or 6 songs in the set.
It's a little jangle time.
Yeah, man, I love it.
And what about the pickups?
They're mini bucker. Just mini buckers. It's great, man. For a while, I thought about taking the octave strings off and just playing it.
Oh, wow,
Just playing it as a 6-string, but it's part of the sound that we kind of established on the first record. So
gotcha.
I got to play it, yeah.
Done anything to it?
Nope. No, I got one of these pots changed out, but that's pretty much all original.
Gotcha, man. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Moving along here. Let's see what else we got. This is another cool one, and I don't really take this out on the road, but since we're playing hometown show, it's a 74 54 reissue.
Okay.
So my uncle actually gave this to me. I mean, it's kind of like on loan.
I was gonna say that long.
Like he never really said, "Hey, this is your guitar," but
maybe if he's out in the crowd tonight at the
Ryman, he's coming. Yeah. So I was like, I gotta play it for him. And I'm just like, kind of like, don't mention it every once when I go home, you know, for the holidays. I'm like, I've had it for a couple years now, so hopefully it's mine for good. But yeah, this is just a great guitar. I think the only thing that's different, they normally come with black knobs.
Yep.
And I actually like the gold. I didn't change them out. It came like that when I got it. But it's a great guitar, man. You can't beat a Les Paul.
No.
And I play this in open G, actually.
And what song's that good on?
American and another song, Leave Your Light On. We're not playing today, but a capo 4th fret, open G.
And you're just playing chords and stuff, or you slide?
Just chords.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great sounding guitar.
Looks awesome.
Thanks, man. What else do we have? This is another cool one. This is my buddy Chris Plank. He's a awesome guitar tech in town. He found this for me. The neck was just, the fretboard was totally cracked and split, and he brought it back to life. It's a 58 Supro dual tone. I only use this for one song. It's tuned down a whole step. It's got big 13 gauge strings on here. So
yeah,
just,
I can see them.
It's like playing a bass, man, but it sounds really cool. That short neck. This front pickup is considerably louder than this back one.
I say, does it bark? It looks like a.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty, sounds pretty awesome, man. But I have to hit a few boosts to get it up to the level of my other guitars. But I love this little thing. I like kind of quirky guitars. I have like the really nice ones, so it's kind of nice to get something that's a little a little different and weird.
Yeah. And it gives its own vibe for sure.
Yeah,
like
for
in
sure.
terms of tones and everything.
Totally. And I mean, aesthetically, it's just cool too. It's like kind of art deco-y or something.
Yeah, the headstock's
I love it. Yeah, that headstock is so awesome and that little imprint right there.
What's the last one we
see? The last one is just, this one Gibson gave me. It's really cool too. It's just I think it's a 63 reissue. ES335. It's got that cool custom made thing where the holes used to be. I normally play this on the open G songs when I'm on the road because I have a better case for this one.
But tonight it's just a backup. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And strings across. I know you got the 13s on the Supra.
Yeah,
what about?
I play 11s everywhere else.
Okay.
I grew up playing 10s, and then I was playing a lot of rhythm stuff early on in the band. Or I still am. And I was like, I don't need to be bending, you know, a whole step up. I can. I think the tone's a little bit better with 11s for me.
Gotcha.
The way I play.
And I'm really anxious and excited to talk about these amps.
Let's
Obviously, we see the Princeton Reverb
for
over
sure.
here. But I want to get to that one.
Cool.
The projector.
Yeah. Should we go for it now?
Yeah. All right, Taylor, talk to me about this guy.
Man, this is what everyone wants to know about. And I load in, every sound guy's like, what the hell is this thing? My buddy Austin Hooks out in Eagle Rock, California, makes these out of old Bell & Howe projector. I don't know the specifics of like what old parts he keeps and what he changes out, but it's like a 12 to 15 watt amp.
Okay.
Kind of like maybe like a Vox, a cross between like a AC-15 and like
so EL-84 in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's really cool. It's unique and it's its own thing. So.
Yeah.
I love it, man. And it's
and it lights up, right?
It lights up. Yeah. I guess you can't see it in the light, but yeah, it lights up. It's cool. I love it. And I run it in stereo with this Princeton Reverb right here. And I don't have an ABY switch. I just jumped the other channel into this one.
Okay.
Someone told me I could do that, and I was like, sweet.
Nothing's blown up, so we're good.
I can save real estate on my pedal board, and it sounds cool, and yeah, that's it. And the thing about this Princeton that I dig, it's been modded to fit a 12.
Okay.
A 12-inch instead of the normal
10-inch. I was just going to ask if it had anything
which I like. I don't know. I like it tonally a little bit better with the 12-inch speaker in there.
Do you feel like there's maybe more headroom?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. You know, it's... And it's a little more low end too. I feel like you get a little more low end out of it as well. And I got a warehouse 75 watt speaker in there. I blew the cone in the original speaker, or the one that came in it. Also got that at McKenzie River Music where Ricky got his 12 string. So we like that shop.
It's a store, yeah. This is store to go
totally.
To. And what do you got in that cab?
This is a 60s Bassman cab. It's just 115 in here. The guy who built this amp is like, man, they sound really good through the 15.
Okay.
So the fenders can be a little brighter. So I think the combo. With this, it fits really well for my tone and sound and everything.
Well, perfect, man. Let's move on to your pedal board.
Cool. Let's do it. Yeah, man. This is Salvage Custom Board. Out of San Diego, Daniel Tyack, the owner, made this for me. Cool guy. So pedals, got the good old trusty Boss chromatic tuner. Nothing fancy there. This is a cool fuzz. I got this in New York, and it only works on battery power, so I'm only
all
playing
right.
it tonight. That's why there's like a little gap, because I'll always forget to unplug it, and
gotcha.
I'll go to hit it, and it won't work. So it's just kind of like a clone of like a tone bender,
okay.
the old tone bender. Soul Food, this is one I use for most of my lead stuff. I just like the way it sounds. We were talking off camera, like it's pretty much like a Klon Centaur, but for like a tenth of the cost,
so you get like 20 of them.
A hundredth of the cost,
yeah,
and I can't tell the difference live, and like I was saying, if anyone says they can tell the difference, I think they're lying live. Maybe in a studio setting, it would be different. The TS9 Tube Screamer, I've had that pedal probably since I was 17. You know, I'm sure there's better distortion overdrive pedals out there, but it's just like I know the sound it's gonna give me.
Yeah.
It's like kind of trusty. That's more for like rhythm stuff to beef up the
gotcha.
Tone a little bit. This is a cool pedal. I saw this on. Jeff Tweedy's board on like it might have been a rig rundown or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Freak Show, it's 2010 Freak Show mid gain boost. When I saw he had it, I was like, oh, let me check one of those out. And I love it. I use it just to, you know, boost
the mids. Yeah, okay.
And a lot of times I'll use these two in conjunction with one another, and they sound really cool. Like on Backwoods Company, one of our tunes, the tone I get is both of these pedals on.
Gotcha.
And this Tremulator is one of my favorite pedals. I have tremolo in the amp, but I like having it at my feet.
Yep.
And being able to mess with the knobs without walking back to the amp. That's just it's one of the best sounding tremolo pedals I've ever had. Made by Demeter, I don't know how you pronounce it.
One of those ways.
Yeah, totally. this one is also really cool. JHS hooked me up with that. It's the Panther Cub Delay. I use it just for like a slapback, like
okay.
a quick little thing. I don't do a lot of heavy delay with long repeats and stuff, but that pedal sounds great. I used it on the last record almost exclusively.
And how do you use that differently than the Memory Man?
The Memory Man, I just go for this one song that's really like washy, like kind of warbly kind
almost
of
like
sound.
A chorus.
Yeah, almost like a chorus, and it's like longer delays. That's like the only thing. So that's I only use that one pedal for that one song.
What song's that?
It's "Don't Ask Me to Change." It's the intro to "Don't Ask Me to Change."
Okay.
And like I'm not a huge pedal dude. Like I try to go. I like to keep it simple. Like yeah. Simplify everything. Like when I get more than like four knobs, I start getting like anxiety. So that's why most of these are pretty simple. And then just the Boss reverb pedal, you know, it's modeled after old reverb tank. I'm sure there's better reverb pedals out there, but for the money and for me, it sounds great, man.
Are you running that like all the time or because I know that?
Yeah, it has it on there. And again, it's like one of those things I like to be able to have it at my feet and not run a separate thing on there. So I don't have it on all the time, but probably 50, 60% of the time. Mainly, it's almost always the trim and verb together.
And you were telling us off camera that you had a bunch of gaff tape before the
shoot.
Oh, yeah.
I cleaned it up for you guys, so it did, so I didn't like some redneck like in his backyard putting his pedal
some
board together.
Some guy from Texas.
Yeah, this crazy Texan with his gaff tape board. So hopefully it works tonight. That'll be great.
Taylor, thank you very much, man.
Thanks
congrats.
For having me, man.
Let's talk to Daniel.
All right,
we got Daniel Hill. Daniel, how are you doing?
Good.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Sincere pleasure to be doing this.
If you're not familiar, Daniel's our, I almost said columnist, but he's a lesson writer for Cosmic Country.
Mm-hmm.
We're always really appreciative when he writes that stuff. So check out those. You'll know why he's kick-ass. So tell us about your Telly here.
Custom shop Telly. I think it's a 63 or 64 reworking.
Okay.
Great. Nice neck on it. Not too big. A lot of older Tellys have that, and they're indicative of having, you know, really thick,
mm-hmm.
big, bulky necks. Not the case on this one. Original frets on here.
Wow.
Yeah. I use a Glendale bridge that has these cut walls, so I can get the more of like a Don Rich.
Gotcha. Like a little bass-y. More access.
Yeah. It just allows for more dynamics on a guitar that really is just kind of a blank slate. And you want to use all the dynamics you can.
How'd you get connected into that? How'd you get turned on that?
A local player in town, a guy named Eugene Moles, had mentioned it to me, and I tried it, and I love it. Emerson saddles.
Okay. What do you dig about those?
They're just cool. I don't ever have to replace them, and the intonation is pretty consistent. I've tried other saddles, and I'd find that I'd usually have to be tweaking it pretty often.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the case. This little knob here is a knob that my dad and I made. And right now I have these Seymour Duncan pickups in here. I have a Billy Gibbons neck pickup.
All right.
And then I think it's an Antiquity bridge pickup.
What do you dig about those specifically?
Man, I dig them because when I roll down the volume, I'm not losing a whole bunch of tone.
Okay.
They don't really buzz all that much. And they can cut through really well without having to really modify the amp to a certain degree.
Okay. And what do you dig about the rosewood fretboard versus maybe maple?
I just came upon this guitar and it had a rosewood fretboard.
Okay.
And it wasn't something I was that like thrilled about when I first got it because everyone plays maple.
Yeah.
It's all the people I admire. But I really dig it. I don't think anyone with older Tellys, it's not something we really see all that often.
Nope.
But I like it. It's cool. You can't see the wear as much as easily on them.
True. And who did that?
My dad did. It's this little symbol. You've seen those Western shirts that have the pockets?
Yeah.
Well, that's like, those are called smiley pockets.
No.
So I figured it'd be cool if it was a face.
It's perfect.
Yeah. I'm a huge Danny Gatton fan, so that's where the cubic zirconia things came from. Because he would put them on his fret markers.
Where are yours at?
Mine fell off.
Oh, so you did have them.
I did do it, yeah.
Well, it's all those gigs at Roberts you had.
Yeah, man.
And for strings, what are you using?
Ernie Ball strings. Cobalts 10 to 46.
What do you like about the Cobalts? Those are still
They're
relatively
cool.
new.
Yeah, man. I actually sat down with a friend of mine. And we had three guitars. We had Slinkies, Cobalts, and another kind I couldn't remember.
Okay.
And we put like nice mics on an amp and went straight through the amp. And I could hear a pretty cool difference.
Wow.
Just the tonality of these strings, I just tend to really dig.
Do you feel like they have a longer life, too?
These do. I'm a big fan. I used to play Elixir strings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never have to change them, and they would still be snappy.
Mm-hmm.
And Slinkies, I don't find that that's the case. And right now, I feel that's the closest thing they're putting out that does that.
And is there anything else we should know about this guitar that you've either done?
Yeah, it's for sale. It's like
oh, really?
$200, yeah. And it's on Craigslist, and I just put it up this morning, so email me.
There you go. Another Craigslist deal.
Email me at my MySpace page.
Is that still active?
Daniel Donato Music.
It's perfect. Let's talk about your amp.
66 Pro Reverb. I got this off Craigslist from a guy who was using it as an amp stand for a Line 6.
No.
Yeah, he had no he had no idea what it was. He had no idea. And
so did you get a screaming deal then?
Yeah, I did. It was like $1,000, which is a good deal for it.
Yeah.
Everything had just kind of gone to hell, like in terms of everything, like on the wiring with it.
Gotcha.
So all that I had to get redone. And my buddy Gary Bohannon helped me out with that at Carter Vintage Guitars.
Oh, cool.
He's the guy for Fenders. And I kind of have this amp modified. And this channel is indicative of like a Vox.
All right.
And it doesn't work with the reverb, or it does work with the reverb, sorry. So they're both wired to work with the Verb. And the reverb tank is not stock. But Gary changed it out with something that sounds really cool.
Cool.
It's great, man. I've played hundreds and hundreds of shows with it. I have Weber F-150 speakers in the back.
All right.
Two of them, you know, it's a pro. And I love this amp. It's right between a deluxe and a twin, where a deluxe doesn't have as much clean headroom as I'd like, and a twin is a lot of clean headroom. Right?
Yeah.
And it does a certain thing. Where I'm at musically with the tones I want to achieve, it's just not really what I want.
Yeah.
And this really is the middle ground, and it's awesome. It's cool.
Are you using the onboard trem vibrato?
No, I really don't.
Okay.
There's something about this amp. I have other pros that I like. The trem on this one, or the vibrato, I don't really like it all that much.
Okay.
But that's really it. I mean, I've had it for a while. It's the first blackface amp I've had, and I'm probably never going to get rid of it.
Well, you were telling us off camera that you changed, you know, you'll play different guitars and you have plenty of pedals, but like you're pretty set on an amp.
Yeah, man.
This is the one.
Yeah. It's all about finding the comfort zone, especially with speakers. You want to have the most worn-in speakers as you can up to a certain point. So that's why I love using this one.
Cool, man. Well, I just talked about pedals. Let's move on there.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome. All right, Daniel, we're at your stomp station. Walk us through what's going on here.
Stomp station. I have this Sonic Research Turbo Tuner, which is great. I went through four Peterson strobe tuners.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen that on a board.
Yeah.
For our rig rundowns.
No.
How'd you come to this one?
I think Brent Mason or someone told me about them, or Guthrie Trapp or someone.
Those are both good sources.
They are good sources, and they play in tune, which is good.
Yeah.
And this thing's really cool. It never, ever breaks. And a lot of people say it's more accurate than a Peterson, which is a pretty hefty claim, but it's cool. Next in the chain, I have the Ego compressor, which I've been using since I was like 14 years old.
Is that something you're pretty much on all the time?
The time on the telly. I have it set. Those aren't the settings I use right now. But I basically have it set as a slight volume boost and very slight sustain.
Gotcha.
I like using it more as like a limiter.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like a funky, squashy compressor. It's really not what I do it for. And then we go into the Rubber Chicken, which is my buddy Sean Michael at Love Pedal.
All right. What kind of effect is that?
Envelope filter.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, so it sounds like a Mutron or something like that. I'm a huge Jerry Garcia fan.
All right.
So whenever I want to try to like imitate that sound or use it, I have a couple that I choose from, but the Rubber Chicken's really awesome. We go into the Organizer. Big Jack White fan, and Jack White uses them from time to time. Uses them with the Rack and Tears and White Stripes. Really great pedal. Warp Vinyl by the genius mind of Joel.
Yeah.
Joel Corday. Cordy.
How are you using that? Because it has a really unique tone and flavoring.
Yeah. I use it as like the You Don't Know How It Feels Mike Campbell tone.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
From you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try to use it like in that vein. I'm not really like so advanced, and I don't really dive into using all like the ramping or anything.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, that's just not really where I reside with the whole thing, but it does both worlds really well.
Gotcha.
It can travel to any end of the spectrum, and it's all analog, which is...
Yeah, and it's digitally controlled though.
Yeah, which is unbelievable. Yeah. It's so cool.
Science.
Then we go into this. The Twin Drive, Twin 12 Drive.
Yep.
From JHS. Josh sent me a couple pedals. He sent me that, Color Box, a Pulp and Peel, and an Alpine Verb. But the Verb I have on my Pro Reverb, I love a bunch.
Yeah.
So I don't really use that with this rig. In the Pulp and Peel, I find actually works better with humbuckers.
Okay.
And as compared to this with my Tele. But this thing's really cool. I'm sure everyone's played one, and it actually has a lot of volume boost, which is like a lot. Like it,
and is this the one that's like based on like an old Supro amp?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Is it the Supro? I think it might be. And then we go into the high volt, which I'm trying to get like a tube driver tone.
Okay.
Like an Eric Johnson tube, you know, like the BK Butler thing.
Yep.
And that does that really well. It has a mid control, low and high control, and it's more of a distortion as opposed to an overdrive.
Alrighty.
But I use it more in the overdrive vein. Going to the bellwether, Colt Westbrook, absolute great approach. With what he explained to me, like what this delay is trying to do, and it really kind of holds true to like the old Memory Man delays. I use it for normal delays and modulated delays.
I was gonna say, it has a lot going on too, like that warp vinyl.
Yeah, it does. It's kind of like an airplane, like a cockpit of an airplane. You know? Like,
yeah, this is all these switches and dials.
Yeah, you don't really know what's going on, but it works. I've used this forever. It's an old DM2. It has that expensive chip in it that is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
Everyone wants, I don't know why. But I got it for like $40 at a pawn shop.
Perfect.
And it was crazy. Yeah. And I've always used it. I use it for slapback delay. Like, that's the only thing I use it for. It does that really well. Going to the main Ace Effects, Shell Shock Pedal.
All right.
Two heavy, heavy overdrives or fuzzes that are going on in this section right here.
Okay.
And that is ignited by this button. And then when you turn this on, you have your tremolo section. And you have the three waveforms that you can switch from to that little knob right there.
Gotcha.
You have mix and speed. And it actually has a pretty good, it can add a pretty high amount of grit to your tone if you turn up the volume pretty well, which is kind of cool. I like that in a tremolo. And I like it to be really choppy, like the Bo Diddley kind of thing. And when you press this guy right here, it doubles the speed immediately. And it's a really wacky sound.
I bet. Are you able to stack the effects where the drive or the fuzz is affecting the tremolo, or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's something I don't really venture into with live settings a lot.
Yeah, I imagine not.
But that was actually something recently I had the idea of trying to get down with, and it's a cool tone once you achieve it. And another thing that's always on, along with this, and the DM2 usually with like a Tele sound, is the collar box with the Lundahl transformers that are in there. That thing is just, that's probably where pedals are gonna be going.
Yeah, I think Josh was telling us either in a video or with a review was that it was based in like an old Neve console.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can get the grit and all the stuff that console provided. I think it's a lot like a pre, like a Neve pre. And I use it with vocals, like when I'm recording, or even with a PA, I'll put it like before and like run a mic, because you can XLR.
Yeah, on the side here.
Yeah. But I think that right now is setting the future for where pedals are going to go, which is venturing into pro audio territory.
Yeah.
Which is something I'm excited to see develop. And I'm just glad I have it. It's my favorite pedal.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, Daniel, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Let's move on to the next guy. All right, last but not least, Joel the bassist. Joel, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Thank you for taking the time. I know you guys got sound check coming up soon, so talk to us about your bassist here.
All right, man. This bass is like the lifeblood of the entire band. I started playing bass and after we had started the band and already toured and played, and then couldn't afford to pay a bass player anymore.
Yeah.
So I sought this bass out just because I'd played one in the studio, and this is like a 1965 Harmony. I got this for like $500, and now they're double that. But it kind of felt like home. It's smaller neck and everything, and used to playing Rickenbackers and 335s and Gretsch and everything like that, so I wanted something like this, and it's like the unique. It's got like that McCartney thump,
which
is my favorite bass player, and it's, I crunched the entire end. This is barely in there. This has got a washer that's barely hanging on.
Hanging on by a thread.
And none of these knobs, like I had to put random knobs on there and everything. This, I mean, it's like a barely holding together. And then we got enough money to where I bought like a more like actual nice pristine vintage one, 1963, and it doesn't sound half as good. It sounds like
Look at all the mojo that's going on with this.
I had to stuff it full of foam because I got feedback the first night I got it and tried to play it. And it's been a battle, but every time I try to do anything else or play anything else, mm-hmm. it just doesn't feel like, you know, this is, you know.
Are you recording with this one too then?
Yep, I recorded like every song on the record, every song on the last record was recorded with this.
Gotcha.
Every song except for, like, the ceiling I played guitar on, our producer played bass, mm-hmm. and like a couple of the songs on the first record I played guitar and lead on. And so our producer would play bass, and he takes a certain type of person to wield this thing because the intonation is not great, the neck's a little funky.
Did you is the pickup, to your knowledge, original?
Yeah, just I don't know what exactly the name of them, but everybody calls them foil pickups, yeah. or tin foil pickups or whatever. And yeah, pickups totally original, and it's got that thump. I really love it. And also, you know, I love just having one pickup so I don't have to, you know.
Yeah, there's no switching.
If it doesn't work, then I know it's wrong.
Yeah,
you know, just that. But
And show us the tuner, yeah. because that's...
And this tuner, this is a D'Addario. They'll be happy. Phil will be real happy for me plugging this. D'Addario, these are the best tuners on the market right here. And I've busted enough Boss.
Because you don't have any tuner,
boxes.
Or you don't have no pedal board, so there, you got to slap that on there.
I know, and I just keep getting lazier and lazier, so, you know. You know, the Aguilar Tone Hammer, which is just another thing that Jay Joyce in the studio, you know, we're playing amazing... vintage amps and vintage everything else. I was like, man, why are you running a pedal? What do you need that for?
Yeah.
And he's like, man, you could just really shape it up, especially if we're playing some random gig like a South by Southwest or something like that, and you're playing through some crazy rig, you don't know what it is, you can kind of like... It
gets close.
But yeah, so like a lot of times if we're just doing something small, I won't even use it that even. But
what about with the Hofner here?
The Hofner, I just got this, and I got it for the last tour. And I got it because... I was gonna sell my other 63 H22, but then buy one of these, and I found the red one. They only made them a couple of years, or I think only maybe 1 year, 2001, or something. And it's the one with a block down the middle, and it's a little bit different. And it's not that much money, but I thought it looked awesome, and it had a little bit different sound than this.
Yeah.
And thicker, more sustain. And but then I went and saw the other day. We got. Got to go see Mudcrutch.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Petty's playing bass.
Yep.
And I'll be damned if Petty's not playing the club bass. So I feel like that'll be like, you know.
You're cool
I
by
totally bought it before I saw him play it. I swear to God, I bought this thing before I saw him. But I play it every now and then just to, you know, just to switch
it up.
So
is it a backup, or is there songs that you will
pick
up? It's
a backup.
It okay.
It's a backup. I've only had it. I bought it a day before the last tour.
Okay.
And everything. So, you know, I played it a couple gigs when I was really worried about this one. Sometimes it'll get a little funky, but just the pods and this coil tap thing, I don't know what that does.
It's kind of like an old car, it gets finicky.
It is, it plays me, yeah.
What about your amp?
Amp, this, SVT, can't go wrong with this, it's the classic. I just made sure that I bought one that was made in America, you know, the Made in the USA one.
Yep.
And I think it's like a 99, 2000, something like that, but then the cab is like a 70s, cab, and it's about twice as heavy as any other SVT cab. I don't know what it is about the year. It's like before they had any of the controls in the back, it just has the one plug. It says SVT, one plug in. I didn't buy this from Orange. I bought it totally online, but it broke and it wasn't working, and I called them up and their customer service was just amazing. They totally rebuilt it for me. And every now and then I'll use it for my main amp, but today I'm using that to power the 15. And then this one for the 810. And I'm a big fan of it.
Tonally, what do you hear between the two in terms of like what's fill and where?
What's nice about this one has a couple tube preamps in it, which is, so like the gain sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's funny, is like our front of house guy is like, man, you're like, he can't believe that it sounds so good because it's not just a big beefy tube amp, you know? It actually surprisingly sounds similar. Like I said, the controls are exactly the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, it says like, it's with that solid state type thing, I don't have any experience with, coming from playing guitar and everything, that the power is solid state and this preamp, that's the two tubes in it. I don't know, it sounds pretty good to me, you know, like, sometimes when I have to like climb like two flights of stairs or something like that, I opt for this more so. But yeah, I think it surprised everybody because everybody's like, oh, you know, just get something, some solid state thing for a backup. And then I'm like, holy shit, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say shit.
You did, and it's all right. On that note, Joel, thank you again.
Dude, thanks.
Appreciate
a lot,
it. Congrats
man.
On the show. The Ryman, it's awesome for you guys. Premier Guitar, Rick Rundown, Chris Keys. Catch you next time.
Don't forget to sign up for PG Perks, your all-access pass to exclusive gear giveaways and discounts on PremierGuitar.com.